630 CHED Afternoons with Jalen Nye. Weekdays at 2 on 630 CHED.
So we told you yesterday that the province has announced $150 million to go towards installing broadband internet in rural, remote, and Indigenous communities in the province. It's an issue that has plagued rural customers for as long as the internet has been around, let's be real. And there is an organization in Alberta that is exploring ways of how to build a better broadband in the province. So let's find out more with Michael McNally, who is a digital technology expert and a professor in the Faculty of Education at the University of Alberta. Michael, welcome to 630 CHED.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so tell us about the Alberta Rural Connectivity Coalition. What is it? What are you doing?
So the Alberta Rural Connectivity Coalition brings together partners from all across the province to serve as a forum to discuss how we might advance connectivity across the province. So we've had an initial forum this past March that brought together a lot of different rural leaders as well as some different experts, and we also had our CRTC commissioner present. And really the goal of the forum is to help keep moving the ball forward on trying to come up with solutions for better connectivity across the province. We've seen some real leadership in this province going back to the provincial government on the SuperNet and also on the community side of things with communities like Olds. But we know that there's, you know, not a single kind of top-down, one-size-fits-all approach, and it's about, you know, trying to make sure the communities have the capacity and the resources to get better connectivity. And, of course, everyone knows after the past 16 months how important that is.
Isn't that the truth? So these symposiums that you held and these forums that you held, what was the overwhelming thing that you heard when it came to this issue in this province?
The need is definitely acute, and you know, there's a real range of possible solutions, but we need a strategy that involves not just you know, communities on their own trying to figure it out, but all layers of all levels of government and industry as well.
So this announcement yesterday, the $150 million announced from the provincial government yesterday, and at least they're talking about it, it's on their radar. You know, the fact is, the talk is that it's going to cost about $1 billion when it comes to something like rural internet and internet on remote communities, Indigenous communities, that sort of thing. I mean, $150 million doesn't go very far. So what was your reaction to that news?
Well, I mean, $150 million is an important first step. But as you've noted, and as the province noted, you know, more is going to be needed. So to put that in context, you know, the town of Olds, about 8,000, 9,000 people, they built their own network several years ago now. And that was about a $15 million plus over time enterprise. So we're looking at, you know, 10 Olds across the province. And it certainly can get much more expensive the more remote you are. To put in, you know, context, the spending by the provincial government, this past March, the federal government and the Quebec government partnered. They are each spending over $400 million. Yeah. So it's an $826 million fund. Government of Ontario announced $4 billion in funding. So $150 million is really, you know, on the lower end of some of the large province spending.
But, you know, certainly as you noted, the service minister yesterday, Nate Glubish, on the show, saying that they hope that this is a starting point and can result in different partnerships between, you know, the province and the feds and the private sector as well. You know what, Michael, whenever we talk about rural internet and about expanding the network and making things better, my listeners, and I have a lot of listeners in rural communities, they send me in texts and they're rolling their eyes. They're like, we've heard this all before. Nothing's been done. What do you say to those folks? Because they're fed up.
That's, you know, we've heard that at a community level for years now. I think the SuperNet really captured people's attention early on, but it never ended up materializing to what some people thought it might be, which was a connectivity solution. You know, it really was about connecting public infrastructure. I think for your rural listeners in particular, We're certainly getting closer in terms of connectivity. You know, the size of the communities where there have been investments are getting smaller and smaller, so we're starting to connect some of the smaller communities. A couple of things to keep in mind, though, is, you know, funding is one part of it and strategy is the other part. So, you know, this government has been talking about a broadband strategy. There was one in draft form under the previous government. That's really going to be a key part of it, you know, something like a policy called dig once. Anytime you're digging up the roads, put in conduit. You don't even have to install fiber optic cable. You put in the conduit, and then, you know, years down the road, you can deploy much more cheaply. That's the type of stuff that a strategy can address, and it's really key for those, you know, in particular, those, you know, rural farmers in between towns and communities.
Well, that's interesting, too, because then doesn't that go towards when we're building new communities and planning ahead with new communities?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, if you you want to think about, you know, who would move to a community without, you know, roads or gas or electricity, broadband is part of that mix now. And it really is, you know, kind of the equivalent of electricity for the 21st century. But if we figure out a way to get roads and gas and electricity to communities, we can figure out a way to get broadband there, because by kilometer, it is the cheapest of those technologies.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about cost and, you know, the potential that it'd be like $1 billion to get this done in Alberta. Michael, forgive me. I mean, this is not my wheelhouse, right? So I'm turning this over to you. This might seem like a silly or stupid question, but I always kind of believe if you don't know the answer, ask the question. Why does it cost so much?
Cost is driven by a couple of different things. One of the elements is the capital cost of putting infrastructure in, and particularly, if we want to put in forward-looking infrastructure, we're probably talking about fiber optic cable. Even for communities where you think, well, we'll solve it with wireless 5G, there still needs to be fiber optic cable to transport that content back to internet exchanges here in Edmonton or in Calgary. So that's, you know, one of the big costs right there is simply, you know, putting this stuff into the ground. Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's difficult to come up with a business model that makes it viable to connect, less densely populated areas. And that's why we've seen, if you have density, you're much more likely to have better internet in your community than if you're sparsely populated.
You know, it's interesting, Michael, like I live on the edge of the city, technically still city limits, but I don't have normal internet. I have, satellite internet or something like that, and the service is so poor. It's one of the reasons why I'm back in the office, because doing what I needed to do for the radio show just wasn't possible. And it's been something that we've dealt with for the 10 years that we've been out there, and we keep getting promises that something's coming, but that's technically still in the city. Before I let you go, so what's next for the coalition? I mean, I love the idea of getting communities together, working together, developing a strategy so you can all move forward together. But what's next?
Coalition is continuing to try and take shape. It's a relatively new organization, yeah. So we're working on getting some of the principles of governance sorted out. We're thinking already probably towards next year of having another connectivity forum, and trying to keep people up to date on everything that's going on. There's not just the provincial government announcement, but we're probably looking at spectrum auction results. Maybe not today, but into next week. That could have multi-billion-dollar implications in it. So really making sure that everyone is brought up to date on everything that's going on in an area that's really quickly moving.
One more question, and this is a good one that just came in from a listener. It's Colton says, why does the government have to pay for this? Why don't the providers who rake in all the cash help pay for this?
I think that's an excellent question, and we certainly, the private sector, the for-profit companies, they have invested in a lot of communities where they think they're going to get the return, and I think it's really interesting questions should be asked. You know, if we're putting in millions or billions, especially on a national scale, of public money in this infrastructure, who gets to benefit from it long term? And competition, I think, is something that everyone can agree on. We could use more of in this country.
All right. You've given us a lot to think about this afternoon. Michael McNally joining me. Thanks for taking the time. Have a great Friday.
Thank you very much. You too.
Yeah, you betcha. Michael McNally, Associate Professor of the Faculty of Education at the U of A. But in the context of this conversation, he's a digital technology expert and one of the folks behind the Alberta Rural Connectivity Coalition, working together to develop a strategy to, you know, move towards getting this done.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.